Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. So I've actually lost count. I'll have to go back and see how many of these. I want to say this is maybe 30, but I'm probably wrong. But yeah, welcome. Here's another episode. So glad to have you guys. Happy July. Almost the end of July by the time of this podcast episode airing, which is just blows my mind how fast this year is not going by. I am hoping that everybody is staying safe and that things are getting better with the virus at the time it's recording. That's my prayer, is that things are improving and that we're all just kind of taking care of ourselves while this is all going on. And let you guys know that I love you and I am so glad that you join me every single week. Okay, so this week's guest is my friend Ray Medrano. Ray is an accountant. He's actually an awesome baker as well. Gotta put that out there. The man can cook. And he talks candidly about what it is like to struggle with fear and to actually conquer it through a cool skydiving experience. You're gonna love our interview. Ray and I have been friends for quite a while, so you can kind of tell that in our interview. And this one's a little longer than what I normally do, but it was also good. I left it all in there. So if you have another about an hour and a half to kill and want to get some things done, this is definitely the interview to listen to while doing it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And without further ado, here is my interview with Ray Medrano.
All right.
Hello.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to The Brave Podcast, and I'm here with my friend Ray Medrano. So, Ray, introduce yourself. Tell people why you're awesome. All those things. You can do the German accent if you like.
Wow. Way to put me on a spot.
And we're friends in real life, so this makes it
this might be this, so much better, yes. Well, let me see. I've known Alexis for...
for a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I truly do consider you like another sister.
His name was a brother. So.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can never remember where I met people or when I met people.
I remember when I met you.
Oh, okay, that's never
so
a good thing.
I had just moved to Fresno, and you, Lauren Leader's sister, came and made a giant sugar cookie at my house, at my dorm.
I remember the sugar cookie.
Yeah, and strawberries on it.
Yes, she was trying to learn how to bake for her boyfriend.
Yeah,
and so I was giving her a lesson, yeah.
Okay. I don't even think I was there. I just think I, like, let you guys in, did my thing, and came back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I remember meeting
She
you.
Didn't want to be there either, so. She said, can you just make this for David? And, you know, I'll say it's for me. Like... I think that sends the wrong message. Yeah.
That's when I met you, and then I never saw you again until the RC.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I know that guy. He made a cookie at my house.
Yeah. That sounds so funny. Yeah. Usually that's how I meet people, with food.
Yeah. Seriously. Food is awesome, though.
Yeah.
And Ray is a very good baker.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
very
that.
Very good baker. Yeah.
So by way of introduction, my name's Ray Medrano, right? I am a certified public accountant here in Fresno, California. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Fresno. I specialize in a little area called forensic accounting, where I value companies for the purpose of either, selling those companies, gifting those companies, buying other companies, merging companies, or anything that has to do with a lawyer. So I kind of get involved in a lot of different things. It's a lot of fun. I'm constantly meeting people and seeing a lot of stuff. Mm. So it's a lot of fun. But first and foremost, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Who I am is a man of God, redeemed by Christ. And every day I try to just figure out a way to see God's kingdom in my life. You know, some days it's better than others.
Yeah.
But that's really my goal. Because I want to see God do some stuff.
Yeah. Don't we all?
Yeah.
Some serious awesome stuff.
So it's really fun because, you know, the bleed over in my life between work, mm-hmm. I never thought that I'd be here doing what I do. It was only maybe 8 years ago that I was like, boy, I just got let go from my job. I have no idea what to do. And I ended up in accounting, going back to school.
Yeah, I've always wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, so it was a conversation that I had with God. I was getting let go of my job, mm-hmm. right? And I had been going to school, but I was not really happy with the major, and it was just kind of dragging on and on and on. And I just kind of needed a reset. And I was bored, honestly.
Oh.
And here I am. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was bored, so I went into accounting. yeah. But what ended up happening is there I am. I had no job. Mm-hmm. And as my sister would tell me at that time, right, no real goals or yeah. ambitions for work. And living with my parents. And I'm sitting there before the Lord and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I have no idea. And God had asked me point blank, well, what do you want to do? And I thought it was a trick question.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Because I was a bookkeeper at the time before I got let go. And I'm like, you know, bookkeepers kind of know what they're talking about. And they kind of really control companies. It'd be really fun to do that. Like, I want to control a company. Maybe I should be an accountant.
Huh.
And I remember just having this conversation with the Lord, and he's like, how would you do that? Well, I'd go back to state. Well, okay, I'd never been to state. But I had always wanted to go to college.
Yeah. You weren't in college before any of this?
Not really, okay. No. I mean, I had studied, but it was a distance learning
okay.
program. So I was never really in school, right? I had gone to community college. But half of those classes a good semester of those classes I took while I was in high school.
Okay.
So even then, like, my community college time was always awkward and not like a real college time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, it would be fun to just go to college and just focus on studying something. I think I want to go to Fresno State and study accounting.
Okay.
And the Lord told me apply. And I'm like, well, maybe I will. And I applied and I got an acceptance letter. And I was shocked because I had been out of real school for about 7 years.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And there I am, sitting in orientation, and this person gets up front, and he's like, I'd like to welcome all the freshmen. Raise your hands. You know, and because I went to community college, I was transferred in as a junior.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, all the sophomores, raise your hands. And for the first time in years, since Fresno State has lifted the ban on transfer students.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd like to welcome juniors. Oh. And I was like, there's a ban? And apparently I was the first class that they had opened up to.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the Lord had his way through it all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he totally opened the door for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And so then when I got into state, right, I didn't know how to study. I was very unorganized. I was incredibly, like, just disorganized in every way, shape, and form.
Really?
Yeah, horribly.
You are disorganized?
I was horrible. In fact, you can ask Chris and Lauren Leader about this.
Okay.
Because, you know, they had graduated right before I went back to college.
Okay.
And I asked each one of them separately. And I said, so how did you guys study? And I remember asking Lauren, I'm like, hey, how do you use a planner? Because I think this might be good to use. And she kind of looked at me, are you kidding? And I'm like, no. She's like, oh. Okay. Well, this is a planner.
just,
yeah. Right.
In a sweet little way.
Yeah. Exactly. In a sweet little way, right?
Yeah.
Trying not to say, hey.
Come on now.
Yeah, really? You don't know how to do this?
Yeah. Yeah, would never
but
say
that's Lauren.
Like that.
Lauren would never say that, right?
Yeah.
And so that was how it started, right? And so I ended up getting a scholarship, and so it paid for all my tuition.
Nice.
And then towards my graduation, right, I ended up picking up an additional scholarship through the California Board of Accountants, and they allowed me to sit on the Fresno chapter of the board.
Oh, wow.
As an intern. So I got to meet all these people that were owners of these different accounting firms. And it was totally a God thing because,
yeah.
again, I was the first – I was a pilot program. I got accepted
yeah.
in the pilot program.
Yeah.
Like, they had never done this before. And the Lord just gave it to me.
Wow.
And then the very same semester, right, the Lord again intervened and he got me a – he got me a full-ride scholarship to the CPA review course.
Wow.
Which is a $3,500 deal.
That's a nice chunk of change.
Yes. And then it was another $1,000 from the State Board of Accountants. So, again, I didn't even think I was going to become a CPA. And I'm like, well, God, I guess you want me to be a CPA.
Yeah.
I mean, you just
open
literally, you gave me the money to take the review course.
Yeah.
And now you gave me the money to sit for the licensing. I guess we're doing this, right? And so that's when that all started. And so really, you know, I can honestly look at my career and say, if it wasn't for the Lord,
you wouldn't be here.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
And you're a forensic accountant now.
Yeah. I specialized, right? I didn't want to be a tax and audit, which is a typical accountant. Usually it's one or the other.
Okay.
Or you work in industry or you're a teacher. I mean, there's tons of variations of what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a public accountant, for the most part, you usually specialize in auditing where you kind of review to make sure a company is following a set of standards that were set forth by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have that or you're a tax practitioner, right, where you're specializing in either personal taxes or company taxes.
Yeah.
So while I still do a lot of tax, and by a lot, I only mean like 20% of my workload is a lot of tax.
Yeah.
People, the first thing they always equate an accountant to is tax.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So because of that, I'm constantly reading about tax laws and I understand a lot of that stuff just because it's easier that way.
And you like it.
I don't mind it, right?
Yeah.
The Lord kind of redeemed that for me because before I used to hate it. So, but yeah, so when I finally discovered that I really liked this forensic stuff, it fit with my personality. I am not a very linear thought process type person.
Okay.
So a lot of accountants don't like change. They like rules. They like certain standards. They like processes and procedures, right?
Yeah.
And it was really funny. My boss made us all in the office do a kind of a, I forget what it was called, but kind of a personality profile, right?
Uh-huh.
And the biggest thing for me goes against policies and procedures and wishes to do his own thing. And here I am in this room, right? And the guy's kind of looking at me as he's like saying my results. I'm like, go on.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I bucked the system.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm high maintenance like that. Sorry. But I found out that forensic accounting is a lot of abstract thought, which is only limited to your ability to understand the rules and procedures and policies that are currently in place and then look at them from different angles.
Okay.
So when I was in college, I took a class and part of that was fraud, right? And you had to find the fraud.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And it was a lot of fun, right? So
yeah.
I did the project in about, I don't know, 6 hours. It was a final project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was this whole narrative and it was like, I don't know, 40 pages.
Yeah.
And you'd figure out all the fraud that went involved in this baseball team. And I submitted my final paper and all of my analysis. And my teacher called me. And he's like, hey, I want to... Well, he called me after class, right?
Yeah.
To stay after class, I should say. He's like, I want to talk to you. I'm like, yeah? did you have help with your final project?
Oh.
And I'm like, no. So none of my prior students talked to you. I'm like, how would I know your prior students?
Yeah.
I'm carrying a 21 unit load right now.
Yeah.
No, I don't have time to socialize with people.
Yeah.
And then I got this other side gig and no, I got no time. He's like, how much time did you spend? I'm like, about 6 hours. 6 hours. And you didn't help. I'm like, no. I'm like, why? Did I do bad? He's like, well, no. I just never see grades as high.
Wow.
And I'm like, and that's a problem? He's like, well, yeah, you identified every area of fraud.
Wow.
In a time that I wouldn't expect you to. I guess you just really think like a criminal. And he started laughing, you know, and I got an A in the class.
Yeah.
But it was one of those funny things. I'm like, wow, thank you.
Whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, so all that to say, when I finally graduated, I told my mentor, I was like, hey, you know, I want to be a forensic guy. Like, I don't know what that's going to look like, but
yeah. Whatever,
I'm open to it. And that's where I found the niche of business valuation.
Okay.
And that's where I developed it. And the Lord's been with me every step throughout my career.
Mm-hmm.
And led me to get other credentials, not just the CPA, but two other credentials.
Okay.
That kind of give me the education as well as the experience that I'm building now to practice in these areas.
That is cool.
Yeah.
No, I know your story. I'm like, I remember seeing you as this baker. And I'm like, how do you go from like baking and making awesome food to accountant? And I have another friend that's similar to you, similar personality.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an accountant. I'm like, how are you? And really like outgoing and like social. Not that accountants aren't. Sorry, any accountants out there listening. I'm not saying you guys are boring people. But like.
You heard it here, folks.
But like.
Big revelation of the day.
Like, there's actually two that I know that are just like these really outgoing, fun people. And I'm like, okay, I'm just digging a hole. But anyway, like, it's just, it's nice to know.
You can edit this later. Don't worry.
So it was cool to know how you became an accountant.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you how you became a Christian. Like, how did you find God?
Yeah. So, kind of a simple story, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't raised in the church,
mm-hmm.
right? And one day, a person that worked with my mom invited us all to their church, People's Church,
yeah,
because there was a play. And it was this big theatrical production. And my mom's like, okay, we should all go.
Huh.
And so she dragged all of us, my sister, my dad, and me, right? And, you know, there was free food there, too, so that helped.
That's a big plus.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
And the pastor gave the message,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was this great play about heaven's gates and hell's flames, of people that had died and then had come face to face with Jesus, you know, that stood at the judgment seat of God.
This is the play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, we're watching this and I'm watching this, you know, and I loved theater. I've always loved theater.
Mm-hmm.
I love live theater. And I'm just watching this and just amazed by the actors and the lights and all these things. And the message is slowly getting into me, you know. And they give the altar call, you know, about if your life, if this makes sense to you, if it resonates with you,
mm-hmm.
if you realize that you're missing something in your life, well, that's Jesus, then come forward. And part on my own accord and part on my mom, it's prodding, you know?
Yeah.
And we all went forward.
Yeah.
Right? To receive Christ. And, you know, that was the first moment of receiving Christ. But then since then, there's been revelation after revelation, you know, of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And the dying to self and understanding what it means to be a believer,
yeah.
which is totally different
than
just...
When did you own it as your own?
Oh, man. That was... Again, evolutions, right? Steps,
yeah.
right? But the first time was when I was 16 and a half.
Okay.
And I had a near-death experience.
Oh, okay.
So my family and I almost died in a fire.
Oh, wow. That's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was on the street corner with my dog. It was around 4 a.m., and my family was all out there, and we were watching our apartment burn, and I could see black ash with this rim of orange falling like snow everywhere, and I was cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, because I had been going to that church for maybe about 2-3 years at that time.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, because I knew nothing about the Bible when I got saved. Like, I didn't even know there was an Old and New Testament.
Okay.
Like, I had no concept whatsoever. And someone thought it would be great for me when I was 13 to go help out in children's ministry.
Without knowing anything,
right?
Okay.
So there I am. I'm sitting with little Johnny, right? And we're learning the story of Noah's Ark. And I'm like, Johnny, shut up. I got to hear this. And I'm just, I've never heard this before, Johnny. Be quiet. I don't think I told the kid to shut up because I would have been in trouble, you know, but
yeah.
I was probably thinking it, right?
Yeah.
But said, be quiet. Quiet, Johnny, quiet.
I need to hear the story.
Yes, right? And again, they got me into children's ministry by luring me in with food.
Yes.
So
food works, man.
Yes. Oh, such a theme in my life.
Yeah. Me too.
So that's what ended up happening, right? And so we started talking. Well, so that was my only basis.
Yeah.
I started hearing this God of the Old Testament, right? In these stories, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
That's my favorite story. I love
it's
that
a good
story.
One, right?
Yeah.
And all these good stories that make good shows, you know,
yeah.
and for sock puppets, you know?
Okay.
And
yeah.
And so that's where my Bible education came from,
with
you know?
Sock puppets?
Yeah.
That's
and felt boards.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know anything because I wasn't reading the Bible for myself, and that's all I got. And I remember standing there in the cold watching all this happen, and I said, wait a minute. If you're the God that can do all these cool things, if you're the God that can protect Noah during a flood, if you're the God that can protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fire, why on earth are you letting my apartment burn?
Yeah. A hard question.
If you're real, why aren't you here?
Mm-hmm.
And I said it not because I was shaking my fist at God, because I was legitimately upset
yeah.
about what was happening, but I wanted to know where God was.
Yeah.
And that was the very first time God ever spoke to me.
Oh, in that moment.
Because he said to me, I remember feeling this chill just move up my back. And it was a warm chill. It's weird because it's hard to explain,
mm-hmm.
right? And it just moved up my back and sat on my head, right? And stayed there around me. And it said, and he said to me, I have you. Watch what I will do.
Oh, wow.
And it freaked me out.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It just freaked me out. And I said, okay. And I didn't tell anybody.
Huh.
Right? Because I'm not
yeah.
telling anybody that.
Yeah.
And who would I tell? This is weird.
Yeah.
And over the next few days, Red Cross came and took us in. They gave us money for new clothing. They gave us shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from the church let us move into their home. And let us stay there for over a year.
Wow.
The church took an offering for us and gave us money. And I remember at the end of that experience thinking, wow, you did what you said you were going to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. You did everything.
Wow. And it made a mark. You know?
Yeah.
It made a mark. And from that point on, there's been a lot of people that have invested in my life over the years.
Yeah.
Someone taught me how to study the Bible for myself, you know, and spent the time. Say, no, Ray, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. You need to, like, sit with God.
Yeah.
And let him teach you. Right? And other people just teaching me to wait on God.
Mm-hmm.
and the phenomenal impact my pastor now has had on my life of just taking me from a place of where I didn't know what it meant at all to even wait on the Lord or tarry or to really seek in and take the time to discern the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
To now it's like I covet that.
Yeah.
You know, I desire that. It's like I want to be the person that waits to hear before I do.
Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's a cool story. And so, I know in the past you preached.
Mm-hmm.
You preached some.
Mm-hmm.
What got you into doing that?
Oh, good question.
Like what?
Boy, you know what? So, you know, to quote Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, here we go. We're talking about it.
In Spider-Man 1.
The good one.
And I have this written down here. Who am I? You sure you want to know? The story of my life is not for the faint of heart. If someone said it was a happy little tale, well, someone lied to you. I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life, right?
Yeah.
The preaching came about, hey, since this is only for you and all the viewers, or listeners, right?
Listeners, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when I was at my old church, right?
Yeah.
I got involved in a lot of different ministries, just because it was kind of right place at right time,
okay.
Right? And there were a lot of great people there that, again, invested in my life, right? And then the natural progression is once you invest in somebody, mm-hmm. for them to produce something.
Yeah.
So before I knew it, right, I'm in the production mode, right? And I'm in all of these different ministries, and I'm doing all these different things for the Lord, right? And it was really cool time for me, right? It was really cool time for me. And then I came to the point in my life where I started thinking heavily about my future, and I tried to go to college.
Like
I tried to
college?
Go to, no, I just tried to go to Fresno State.
Oh,
yeah.
Fresno State, yeah.
Cause I was going to be a business major.
Oh, okay.
Right. Cause I wanted to own my own company, and you know, that's what everybody does when they have no idea what they want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Business.
Yeah.
And so Fresno State denied my application. Which made no sense to me because I was a pretty decent student. I was like a 3.6 GPA.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. And my best friend at the time said to me, well, maybe God has something different for you. You should pray about it. Have you ever thought about ministry? I'm like, no. And you know, a lot of my reactions when I think back of them now, I was so immature back then.
Yeah.
And I prayed about it, and I talked to my pastor at the time, and he had said, well, what if we create a special internship for you? And man, we went through that process, right? And so I interned at the church for maybe about 6 months, and they put me on a pulpit.
Oh.
Right? My first sermon was to a group of ladies 60 plus.
Oh, okay.
60 years old and plus.
Yeah.
Right? And there was probably about 100 women there.
Whoa. Your first ever sermon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And I remember I told them I had spoken out of I don't remember what book it was anymore, but the basic idea is David served his generation and then was no more. Right? And I'm speaking this to all these women, right, that are in their 60s plus, right? And the whole push of the sermon is the fact that you are alive means God's not done with you.
Okay.
And there is a plan and a purpose for your life. So just because you've raised a family,
yeah,
you've had a husband, or maybe you're still married to a husband.
Yeah.
Just because you've done all these great things in the past, and now you're towards the latter end of your life,
yeah.
don't think that God is done with you, because until you give your last breath, God is not done with you.
Exactly.
And to think and do anything less is to not live up to what God has called you to. Right?
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I still remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how it started, right? And so then I started preaching for different churches in the area as kind of just a relief pastor.
Huh. How old were you when this was all going on?
22.
Oh, you're young.
Yeah, yeah. I was really young, and in hindsight, I really shouldn't have been doing so much. I had a lot of issues that I should have worked out. I mean, biggest thing was pride.
Yeah.
You know, you don't give somebody that full of pride stuff like that in a spotlight. It just creates all sorts of different issues.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you recognize it then?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah.
No. It's all right. You may call me pastor. Yes, pastor is here to visit the sick who are in the hospitals. You know, can I get a good parking at St. Agnes? You know, because I'm a pat. Yeah. So, yeah, I was. Yeah. you know, but the Lord uses all that, right?
Yeah, he can use anything.
And so then over the course of the years, like the Lord has given me the opportunity to speak on and off, right, to both preach and teach. And then kind of just. I've let that develop over the years. Like I said, it's not something that I've actively pursued anymore, partly
yeah.
because I've laid it down to the Lord, you know? And truthfully, I don't know how that's going to look in my future.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a whole heap of promises and things that the Lord has spoken to me.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as how those work and how they come together, you know, I just don't know yet. And that's part of the excitement of just trusting God.
Yeah.
Right? But I look at it now, and I look at my job, and I am doing this job where I am constantly in front of people that have 20-plus years on me
mm-hmm.
of experience. In their industries, working for different companies. And I keep a running total, right,
yeah.
of all the companies that I've worked in. And I've looked at over 60 companies.
Wow, that's a lot.
To date. Yeah.
That's a whole lot.
Uh-huh. And I've valued those companies. And not just I've just looked at those companies and kind of gazed at them
you
from afar. I've
them.
Dug in them. I've
yeah.
done industry analysis. I've done the work of interviewing these business owners to figure out how they've done their businesses and what's worked, what hasn't worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has given me that opportunity. And recently, like, the Lord gave me the biggest opportunity of my life, right? We're talking where I'm sitting in the room of these two CFOs. Again, both of them have 20-plus years on me. And they're talking, their project that they're working together on, we're talking... north of $200 million invested
wow.
in this, right? And here I am consulting. Hi, we found you and your boss on the internet, and we need your expertise, right? And I look at this, and this is how I know that I'm so different than how I used to be, right? Before
yeah.
I'd be like, well, yes, I can help you, right?
Yeah.
And now I hear that, and I kind of take a moment inside, and I'm like, Lord... because of you.
Yeah.
I never thought that I'd be here. I never thought I'd be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think back to that verse in Proverbs where it's like, you know, a man that is skilled will sit before kings, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord does this. You know, the Lord puts a man like this in front of kings.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, like, I'm dealing with these people that I have no business dealing with, but the Lord has brought it about.
Amazing.
And it's a constant reminder for me of the Lord's provision in my life when I get those moments.
Yeah, I love those moments. When mm-hmm. you're like, I'm not here because of me. I'm here totally because of God.
Mm-hmm.
Totally not qualified to be here. Totally
yeah.
not all these things, but God makes it possible.
Mm-hmm.
I love those moments. Those are like some of my favorite moments. You're like, wow. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. So I want to ask you a little bit about
sure.
your... skydiving trip. So Ray is not an adrenaline junkie. I am. Like, I'm like, I want to go to Six Flags, and Ray's like, no, I pass. Like, I'm not going with you. And so you not being an adrenaline junkie like I am and not like seeking those type of things, how did you find yourself jumping out of an airplane last year?
Yeah, so to those of you that are listening to this and know me and are thinking you heard wrong, no, that is true. I went skydiving, and please do not be upset or hurt that I did not tell you, because it was something personal between the Lord and me. So this is how it came about, right? So I have been dealing with this issue of fear, really, since the end of 2017, where the Lord brought it to light in my life, okay? And I was just kind of in this really rough, bad way. And I didn't even know that I was so bad, but there were so many different elements of my life that were wrong, right?
Yeah.
And I was dealing with depression. I'd wake up and I would literally say, I don't want to do this another day.
Yeah, that's a hard place to be in.
And here I am, right? I'm like 4 years into my career. I have my CPA. I have my two other credentials.
Do you have your house yet?
Yes, because I was all the way up to that point, right?
Yeah.
I was still having those thoughts, right? Wow. So I just bought my first house, right?
In a successful time of your life.
Like, yeah.
Prior to your life.
I had a brand new car,
yeah.
You know? And I just think, I just can't do this. Like, I'm just, life is so tiring, right? And then I was still being asked to speak at different places, right? So I'm still doing the works of God.
Yeah. I've never known that, knowing...
Right, and you knew me during that time,
never
right?
Never would have guessed that anything was going on.
Right,
yeah.
And so it was a really hard time for me. A really, really hard time for me. That was just frustrating. And what ended up happening is I ended up getting help. Like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God, you know, my church family reached out to me.
Yeah.
And someone in my church, right, came alongside me and I remember sitting with him for the first time and we had talked a little bit about things I was going through and he said that he was praying and the Lord showed him several things. And I'll never forget this. I was so nervous and I had such a battered animal syndrome where I was just in the corner always fearful.
And ready to strike if you needed to.
Yeah, and especially now that so much of my stuff was exposed, right?
Yeah.
It made worse. And I was having anxiety, and I would go home and I would cry. I remember during the month of January, I probably spent the entire month going home after work crying.
Wow.
And I wasn't eating. I dropped.
I remember you got really thin.
I did. I dropped about
okay.
17 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just, like I said, I couldn't eat. Like, I legitimately couldn't eat. For the guy that loves to make food and loves to bake and cook, right? Every time I would try to eat anything sweet, I would vomit. Or get to the point of vomiting, right?
Yeah.
And I can only eat plain food. And I can only eat a little bit at a time. Because I was physically ill from the things that I was seeing in me that God was bringing out, right?
Yeah.
And it was not, it's a bittersweet time in my life because it was the most painful, really, from that January all the way to that June. One of the most painful times of my life. But one of the most beneficial times looking back at it now.
Yeah.
Right? And there I am sitting with this man and I have this scared, beaten animal syndrome, you know, and he just looks at me, he's like, man, you're really messed up. And I remember just staring at him like,
really?
You're a counselor?
Yeah. Thanks.
What the heck? I think I got the short end of the straw here. Like,
did you flunk counseling?
I just laughed in disbelief. And he's like, no, really, you're really messed up.
Oh.
And I sat there and he just let it sit, right? And he didn't say anything after that. And there's this awkward pause, right? And I just looked down and I'm like, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's okay, though. Because you want to change. And you want Jesus to change you, right? I'm like, yeah. And you're willing to do the work, right? Like, yeah. And you're willing to let him do the work that he wants to do. Like, yeah. Okay, then. You're going to be fine. And so that process, right, started exposing all these different things in my life. And as I began to seek the Lord, more and more of these things started being exposed, right? And all these different lies started coming out of my life, right?
What were some of the lies that you got?
Ooh, good question, right? My life had no value.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I believed, right?
That's terrible.
I believed the only thing that mattered in my life was when I got out to preach or teach.
Wow.
Because that was the only time I had influence.
Huh.
Right? And so because of that, right, all the more that unhealthiness of coveting that position,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Mixed with pride.
Yeah.
Right? I believed that if I wasn't entertaining, no one would like me and I wouldn't have any value.
Wow.
Which is a real deep truth, right?
Yeah.
Because... and again, this is something that I've learned, like I said, over 3 years, right? But the Lord really showed me that, you know, everybody pings me as an extrovert.
Yes.
I'm much more ambivert, right?
Ambivert
is
like
the
a
middle.
Mix of both?
It's smack dab in the middle.
Okay.
It's a lesser quoted of the two, if you will, right?
Oh my God, I heard that one.
So an extrovert is charged by people, right?
Yeah.
Introverts are charged and, you know, basic...
You like to be alone. We charge when you're by yourself.
Exactly, right?
I'm an introvert.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So an ambivert can charge either way.
Wow.
Right?
That's a nice gift.
But they just have to, like, mentally flip-flop, right?
Yeah.
But for years, I was always extrovert because I thought that if I didn't see people, if I didn't hold on to these relationships, if I didn't make myself known, I'd be forgotten. And then I'd lose my value to people. And I couldn't lose my value to people. I absolutely needed that. I needed other people to tell me I had worth. Right?
It's a hard place to be in.
Yeah, right?
We all kind of experience that in some sense.
To a degree, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking a little bit before we started, right, about fear, right? Fear in and of itself is not a bad thing, you know? We have a fear, a survival instinct, you know? Hey, don't touch the hot wire, you know?
Like
don't touch the fireplace, you know?
Don't jump off the cliff, like,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? But then there's this unhealthy spiritual stronghold of demonic fear that grips you and then dictates and colors your view of life.
And it's awful. Fear is just, and it's like we were talking about earlier, it's a lie.
Exactly.
It's a lie. It puts a veil over you and it skews everything that you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I hate fear. I hate it. I struggled with doing the past and being a former fearer. It really can, it can blind you. It can, there's that song you were talking about.
Fear is a liar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no. That this guy that I sat down with, right, he told me, go home and listen to this song every day. And I listened to it for 3 solid months straight.
Wow.
And it took me a while to realize that, oh my gosh, fear is a liar.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Like, it will rob me of everything that it possibly can, you know? There's this verse... in 1 John 4, right? Or is, I think it's 1 John 4. Yeah, 1 John 4. Where he's talking about that perfect love casts out all fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had read that in the past, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. Perfect love casts out all fear. Yay!
Yeah,
right?
All the fears, yeah.
Right. Well, no, in my mind, it meant the fear of condemnation, fear of judgment.
Mm.
Because... I didn't have a concept of what it meant to live a fearless life. It's like trying to describe the color yellow to someone that's colorblind.
Yeah.
right? It's like you can tell them it's vibrant.
It's bright.
It's bright. It's flashy.
It glows. It's beautiful.
It's the color of the sun.
Yeah.
And all of that would be wasted on them because they have no frame of reference to understand the color yellow compared to the drab. And in the same way, I had no frame of reference to understand what it's like when it says perfect love casts out all fear, because I was so used to living in fear, under the bondage of fear, held by fear, that when perfect love casts out all fear, well, yeah, if that meant 100%, but I was used to practicing 10% of that freedom. I'm like, yay, this 10% freedom is all freedom. Yay, I have all this freedom. And that was my 100%. Because I had no way to know that it was better.
Wow. When did the fear start, you think? You know, when it started or what caused it?
It's so hard because it's like, you know, I look back at my life. And like I said, you know, the story of my life is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
And there's so many moments, right, where I can say, maybe fear got in here, maybe fear got in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, to your point about adrenaline, right?
Yeah.
I had asked the Lord last year, you know, why do I hate adrenaline so much? Because, you know, we as friends, we've all tried to go together to see Six Flags, and that's no, I'm not going with you. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm good,
right?
Like, oh, man,
no, I did go to Six Flags once with some friends that begged me and twisted my arm, right?
How was it?
It was horrible.
Oh.
I almost passed out on the first ride. I got horribly sick, and then I faked being sick the rest of the day. And I'm sorry if any of you friends are listening to this that know that. because I didn't want to do it again.
Yeah.
I was just done. I'm like, I'm never doing this again at all. And as simple as it sounds, right?
Yeah.
When I was growing up, right, we would always go to the fair, the big Fresno fair here.
Yeah.
And my dad loved, absolutely loved taking us on one of those giant slides.
Those are so fun.
Okay. Yeah, not for me. So he would put us, right? He would put me, and I still remember this, right?
He's with the burlap bag. Though.
Yes, with the burlap bag,
so
right?
No,
so it was like, I think I was 9 or 10, right?
Yeah.
And he would put me on his lap in the burlap bag, right? And we'd go down together, because I wasn't old enough, whatever the age thing is, right?
Yeah.
To go alone. I wasn't there. And so there I am, going on this bag, down this slide. And I still remember the feeling of getting a little bit of air.
Yeah.
You know?
Where your stomach kind of floats up, right?
Right.
Love that feeling.
And I was terrified.
Oh.
And I would do that, right? And we get to the bottom, and I'd be frozen. And my mom would yell at my dad for taking me, right? Because I was completely frozen for, like, a couple minutes, right? And he thought it was the most hysterical thing ever. And so then he would take me back on it, right? And
wow.
So we would do this in several rounds, right? And I didn't, you know,
not
time and
you.
Time again, right?
Not fun for you.
And I hated heights. I despised heights.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So to the point of I would never even get on a ladder.
Oh.
Because being on a ladder caused me problems.
Okay.
It caused me anxiety. And I would constantly have to be holding the ladder because it freaked me out that I would fall and injure myself.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, why aren't you afraid of the ladder? Why, everybody should be afraid of the ladder. It makes perfect sense. What's wrong with you being up on that ladder?
Yeah.
That thing can kill you.
Yeah.
Right? Again, my level of freedom was so restricted.
Okay.
So I don't know. Like I said, I've had a lot of different experiences over the course of my life that I could say, oh, there was a fear moment there. There was a fear moment there. There was a fear moment there. But I can't tell you.
Okay.
All I know is that was part of me and just part
life.
Of my normal way of operating.
Okay. So having this fear of adrenaline and fear of heights and gotten you planning to go on this skydiving trip, how did you take that? How did you kind of walk through planning it, getting on the plane, jumping off the plane.
Yeah, yeah. So I was... so I was sitting in prayer, right?
Uh-huh.
And like I said, this is... I'm not an adrenaline person. I'm not. Like, I don't enjoy roller coasters. You know, I don't... I like ladders. I have a fear of heights.
Yeah.
Or had a fear of heights, I should say. And all these different things working against me, right? And I remember I was in prayer. And I'm just kind of walking around, pacing, right? As I'm in prayer. And I'm praying in the Spirit. And I stop. And I say it as though I'm responding to someone mm-hmm. because of what the Lord said to me.
Yeah.
And I say, skydiving? Oh, man, that is so not God. Wow. Okay. Devil, you got to get out of my mind right now. We are not having that. In Jesus' name. Like, you don't get to put fear in me.
Yeah.
And I literally said that, right? And it didn't connect in my head what God was doing. And I got rid of it, and I just went back to prayer, right?
Yeah.
And the next day, it popped back up. And it's funny, you know, everybody has to learn how God speaks to them, right? Because
yeah.
God speaks differently to every person.
Differently, yeah, definitely.
And for me, right, it's the fire in the bones mentality, like Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Where the more I sit on something, and the more I pray about it, and the more I just let it be before the Lord, the more it develops.
Hmm.
Into either a strong burning fire and direction that I know this is right.
Yeah.
Or I see it for what it is, right? Which is a distraction, or there's something that is meant to tell me about something else.
Okay.
Right? Or it is for somebody else. Right? And so it just kept coming out, right? And kept coming back. And I'm like, my goodness, God, this is so irritating. Like, And it wasn't until the end of the week, right, that I'm like, God, this can't be right. Like, are you telling me to skydive? I'm like, okay, speak, because I need to hear your voice. And the Lord said to me, he's like, I am making you a man that believes my word over what he sees, thinks, or feels.
Huh.
And I said, oh. I don't know what that means. Like, you, that's not what I asked you. Like, I asked you about skydiving. What is it? Like, I do that when I don't want to answer a question.
Yeah.
So we... so I kind of like, I wrote it down, right? I shelved it, right? And pushed it off. And then I was like, okay, I don't get this. And so I was sitting before the Lord, right? And just kind of like really coming to the Lord. I'm like, I don't know what this means. Can you please speak to me? And he's like, I have revealed and destroyed fear in your life in many different areas. And I have dealt with the issue of unyielded ground.
Can you go into that?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that the Lord showed me last year, kind of in the summer, right, I was just having troubles again. I was frustrated and I was angry. And I finally got alone with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't get this. So I need to lay everything down. And here's what I know, and honestly, this song came to be a very powerful song in my life. One thing I've learned, and the crux of the song, right, is I may not know much,
okay,
but I know this. The Lord's a promise keeper, and I'm his.
Oh, I like it.
Right? And then he talks about the attributes of, you're great, you're wonderful.
Do you know the song title?
I think it really is.
Promise Keeper?
No. One thing I've learned.
Oh. I'll look that one up.
Yeah, it's on my playlist, but...
that's okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm getting distracted now.
Yeah.
But see, now it's going to bug me. But ask the question again. One thing I've learned.
Yeah.
Got it. One thing I've learned by People in Songs.
Oh, I love People in Songs.
Yes.
I love that group.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
Awesome.
It's really funny because when I heard their name, I'm like, yeah, you know that song by People in Songs. Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah. But one thing I've learned, right?
Okay.
And so that's the song, right? And I'm like, this is the only safe place I am, Lord. I know nothing.
Yeah.
I legitimately know nothing. And I choose to lay everything else down, everything I thought I knew about myself, every promise that I've received, every want and every desire, because I'm making a mess of my life with me just being involved.
Yeah.
And I can't function this way, Lord. There's still something wrong with me, and I didn't know what it was, right?
Yeah.
And so I go through this process of laying things down, and the Lord begins speaking to me out of Job chapter 1. And in Job chapter 1, you know, we have the story of Job. And Job's this great guy, and he has all these things together, and he has his family, and he has all this stuff, and everything's wonderful and hunky-dory, you know, and just absolutely wonderful for Job. And then all of a sudden, Satan enters and kind of messes with him.
Yeah, like, really? I used to dread reading that book. Like, the Lord's like, I want you to read Job. I'm like, what's going to happen to me? He's like, I just want you to read it. You're okay.
Well, in my mind, right at that time, right, still struggling with fear, right? I'm like, what do you mean you want to show me something from Job?
Yeah, I know.
That is not the book I want you to show me something from.
It's a scary book. And it's only scary the first, like, two chapters, and then the rest of it's arguing. And then God jumps in.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, no, don't really want to do that, Lord.
Yeah. Not this book. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this, right, there's this whole talk back and forth because Satan wants Job. Well, Satan was prowling the earth, right? And God offers up Job.
Yeah.
And then Satan's like, but does Job fear you for nothing?
Hmm.
You know, and he questions the intentions of Job's heart.
Yeah.
So really, God, it's not that Job fears you because he has a healthy reverence of you and he loves you and he wants to do the things of God and see the will of God here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's just scared to death that you're going to take everything away from him, that you're going to destroy his family, that you're going to take the riches you've given him, that you're going to kill him and take everything he loves and holds dear.
That's really what it is.
And out of that, the Lord began speaking to me and said, it's you.
Ooh.
And I'm like, okay, tell me more. Everything that you do not yield to me is unyielded ground, because it is ground that is in your hand and not in my hand.
Ooh.
And the danger with that, son, is that if I let you go on with unyielded ground in your life, Satan will always have a way to accuse you before me.
Ooh.
And he will use it to destroy your ministry, to limit your effectiveness, and to destroy anything that I give you in the future. Because you will always remember this, because he will bring it back to your mind, because he is the accuser of the time you did not submit to me.
Mm.
And I began to cry.
Yeah.
I just cried.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, oh God, that's heavy.
Yeah, that's really heavy.
And I begin to cry, right, and cry. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I remember I was shaking. And I called a brother of mine, and I was like, dude, like, these are some of the things the Lord showed me. And I need you to pray for me. And he's like, brother, I will pray for you. The Lord told me that I'm to pray for you during this entire next season of your walk. And he's going to do something miraculous in you. And here are some verses I want you to go over, you know, and to dwell on, because the Lord put them in my heart to give you. Right? And as I begin to do that, right, these things begin coming up. And so much so, I begin reaching out to my pastor, and I was like, listen, I'm still kind of messed up. Like, I'm really still kind of messed up. Like, she's like, well, you need counseling? I'm like, I don't know.
Like, I'm just messed up.
She's like, do you want me to pray if you need counseling? I'm like, that would be good. She's like, well, I don't think you need counseling. I'm like, well, I don't know. She's like, Ray, like, you tell me what's going on, right? And I'm like, I don't know. This is the things the Lord told me. And she's like, okay, so deal with them. Okay. She's like, the Lord is taking you on a journey. And the Lord had used that word several times over the past 3 years.
Journey?
Right? Yeah, journey, yeah. Right? And every time it was from a different person, right?
Yeah.
Unrelated, not knowing what the other people have said, right? Or the words they've used. And so that's how I knew the Lord was like saying this. And I'm like, journey. Okay. I may not know much, but I know this.
Yeah.
The Lord's a promise keeper and I'm his. And everything else I lay down.
Yeah.
Everything else that I thought I knew. Everything else that I hoped to be true. Everything else, even about my future. I refuse to think about any of it. Just for this one truth, I'm going to go after you, God.
Yeah.
And we're going to get these things out. And as the Lord began developing these things and ripping them out of me, right, there were some deep things the Lord showed me about myself that I just wasn't happy with, right, about where all these things came from. Like, one of them was about the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Right? Why do you do this? Because every single time the Lord began showing me pictures of my childhood, and pictures over the years, this montage of memories. And every single time I had an experience with adrenaline, it was always with something negative that happened.
Yeah.
Whether it was, family issues that were really intense and bad.
Yeah.
Right? Just a lot of things that were really, really bad, you know. I love my family dearly, right? So
yeah.
I'm hesitant to say things specifically with any of my family that are living.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't want to put a bad taste towards them, because I love them very much.
Yeah.
You know, but I will talk about some of them passed on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a kid and waking up and being awoken to the sound of my uncle at the door, beating the door with his fist, saying that he wanted in, that he hated us, that he was going to kill us. And because my grandparents loved my mom over him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I still remember things like that. And a host of other memories like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, you want to talk about fear, right?
Yeah, that a lot of fear in that.
And just a lot of unhealthiness in my childhood, right?
Yeah.
That now, looking back, I know it was unhealthy. But again, you know, as a child, and especially now, you mm-hmm. know, with this new freedom that I have being very different than the freedom that 10% that I said I can only know and experience,
yeah.
right? That was normal. Just normal. So that was my frame of reference. Right? So every single time, it was always negative. So consequently, anything that gave me an adrenaline rush
was a bad thing.
Was bad.
Yeah.
And took me back to those bad places, for those
yeah.
bad times. Right? And again, just being on the ladder pulled me back to those bad times and bad experiences, that when any time my feet left the ground up, I'd be brought back to that. And it would terrify me, and
yeah.
it would shake me, and sometimes I would shake.
Yeah.
And I'd get dry mouth, I'd get sweaty palms, like, it was horrible.
You're like reliving it.
Right. And without even knowing it.
Yeah.
Right? It was just what I lived.
Mm-hmm.
So that concept of unyielded ground, right? The Lord started working it out in me.
Yeah.
Working it out in me. Working it out in me. And then I come to maybe August or so, September. And maybe October. I can't remember exactly, right? Accountant brain. So it was in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Right? Third quarter.
Yeah.
That I'm sitting here, and like I said, I'm in prayer, and the Lord drops this on me, and I'm like, what the heck? This can't be the Lord.
Yeah.
But it was, and I knew it was the Lord, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to tell anybody this. I don't want to tell anybody this, and I didn't tell anybody this, except for that one brother that said they'd be praying for me.
Yeah.
Because the Lord had put it on their heart to pray for me. And I told him about this. And he sat there, and he's like, okay. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, skydiving.
Yeah, like, this is big fear.
Like, I hate ladders.
I'm gonna go jump out of a plane.
And he's like, okay. Well, did the Lord tell you to do it? Yeah. Okay. You don't think it's crazy? He's like, not if the Lord told you to do it. And that's when, like, I heard that from him, and I'm like, eh. Why am I behaving this way?
Yeah.
Because if there's something in your life, right? If there's something in my life that is stopping me from doing what God told me to do.
Yeah.
I got a problem.
Exactly.
I got a major problem because I can't do what God told me to do because of that thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's that unyielded ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden, there's that thing that I made bigger than Jesus.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
And so for me, that was the thing, right? And I'm like, skydiving. Why, Lord? Why would you choose skydiving? And he said to me, he's like, because you've got rid of all these areas, and I have removed all these areas of fear, and yet there's still a peace that remains.
Oh, you couldn't have it there.
Yeah.
You had to get rid of it.
Uh-huh. I couldn't have it there. He wouldn't tolerate it.
Yeah.
Right? Which, out of God's goodness, it wouldn't allow me to go forward without dealing with it.
Mm.
No matter how much pain it caused me.
Yeah.
Because you love me that much.
Yeah.
Right? And so I said, okay.
Like,
I guess we're doing this.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, well, if we're doing this, we're going to do it right. I'm not doing it in Fresno because I don't want anyone to know, for one. And I'm like, I spent enough time down in San Diego because I spent a lot of time down in San Diego last year. I'll just do it in San Diego on one of the weekends that I'm down there. And I did. I looked up different companies, found a place. Looked at the ratings, read a lot, you know, and the more research I did, I was like, dang it, this is growing in me, Lord. I know this is what you're having me to do. And so I paid the money and I booked it. And then they're like, would you like a picture package? And I'm like, oh, no, give me the deluxe package with a picture and video. I want a videographer walking around with me. Because no one I know is going to believe that I did this.
When I heard you did it, I'm like, no.
Yeah. I sat down with a buddy, and I was telling him this, and I was leading up to the talk about the skydiving thing. And he's like, wow, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, what do you mean, what am I going to do? Well, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, you're not someone that's going to do that. I mean, that's really hard. I mean, are you going to take somebody with you to, like, make it easier on you? Or are you – how does that make you feel? Are you okay? I'm like, I already did it. What? No. No. And him and his wife just kind of looked at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I really already did it. He's like, and he kind of paused as if I was going to make a joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you want to see the video? He's like, yeah, I have to see the video.
Yeah.
Okay. And I showed him it, right? Because again, he didn't think I'd do it. So, here I am, right? I booked it. I went down that day.
Yeah.
Had had a lot of time to think about it, right? And again, the Lord just began reminding me of that word that meant nothing to me at the time, right? Mm-hmm. I'm taking you to be a man that believes my word over what he thinks, feels, or sees.
Hmm.
And I go down there, and I'm at the place, right? And I was freaking out a little bit, you know, because I'm still nervous, and I've gotten motion sickness a lot of times, you know, over little things. And so I'm like, okay, this is not good. This is not good. And then I did research, right? And it's like, if you get motion sickness, you are guaranteed to vomit on the person you're jumping with.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. Yeah, thank God for this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is going to suck. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Right?
You got this person.
Well, I'm going to vomit. And then I'm like, hang on. You told me to do this. So because you told me to do it, I have the ability to claim your health over this.
Yeah.
Because I'm stepping out and doing what you told me to do.
Yeah.
And that changes the game. So I did everything I could reasonably, right? Where I ate the right meal before, I took some doTERRA oils before,
yeah.
I prayed before,
yeah.
I took some Dramamine before.
Yeah, you were
right. Exactly.
Nothing was coming out.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? And I remember getting there, right? And I waited for like over an hour.
Sometimes the wait is the worst part.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, like, Lord, no, you called me to do this, right?
Yeah,
so I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here and I trust you. You said, therefore.
Therefore, I'm okay.
You
yeah.
said, therefore, right? And it made me think about Abraham. And through this entire experience, like, I've grown a new appreciation for Abraham. And, you know, in Romans 4, we kind of get this glimpse of Abraham. And I love this. I'm just going to read it real quick.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Right, where it says that 18, right? So he was given the promise. In 16, it talks about the promise and about faith. And, you know, Abraham's promise was to have an heir, Isaac.
Yeah.
Right? And it says here that in verse 18, that in hope against hope, he believed. Right? So he believed. And then in 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now, as good as dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right? So he contemplated. He thought this through. He reasoned.
Yeah.
And it gave me such hope, right? Because God is not afraid of our reasoning.
No, he's not.
He's not, right? And we're never going to out-reason God.
No. Try. It doesn't work.
But reason needs to always be put in its proper place.
Hmm.
Because it goes on to say that even though Abraham reasoned, right, yet with respect to the promise, right? So contrast, yet.
Yeah.
With respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, right?
Yeah.
So even though he reasoned, he didn't waver in unbelief. But the opposite happened. He actually grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Right? So then Abraham did not believe his intellect.
Yeah.
Or what his senses told him.
Or what he saw.
Or what he saw of the experience.
Yeah.
Even though he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Yeah.
He considered the fact that his body was as good as dead, being 100 years old.
Yeah.
Right? All these things, right? Even though he reasoned and thought of these things, yet God said.
Yeah.
Yet God said.
Yeah.
And because God said, everything else, yeah, that's very real.
Yeah.
But it isn't the final say, and it isn't
bigger than God.
What I believe.
Yeah.
And because of that, right, he grew strong in faith. He gave glory to God. He became fully assured that what God had promised, he he was also able to perform, right?
Yeah.
He didn't trust in his own strength or his own ability to fulfill that word. He rested in the character of God. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so that was what God was trying to teach me, right? I'm teaching you to be a man that does not believe his own word, right? But I'm teaching you to be a man that believes God's word, God's voice, what he would say to you.
Yeah.
More than what you'd see. You know, what your senses would tell you.
Yeah.
What your analytical mind would deduce and understand and bring out and bring forth.
Yeah.
And hey, as an accountant, I have a very analytical mind.
Yeah, you have to.
It's just part of my everyday gig.
Yeah.
Mix that with the abstract. I'm looking at things from all sorts of different angles at all times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all those things need to come into holy submission.
Yeah.
But God said.
But God said.
And so here I am, right? And I'm meeting all these people. And this one guy is like, I'm talking to him. And I'm like, so what brought you here? Right? And he looks at me, he's like, happy hour.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't quite understand. Well, I was at the bar last night and I was drinking a lot. I decided to sign up to skydive today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it says in the disclosure you're not supposed to do that. Like, don't drink the night before because
yeah.
you're supposed to be well hydrated. Whatever. I'm like,
okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
What brings you here? Well, God told me that I should come and skydive because he wants me to be a person that believes him over my own fears. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'm like, yeah. And, you know, then he stopped talking to me.
he's like, okay.
And so, you know, I was talking to another person and same type of deal, right? They asked me, like, we're on our honeymoon. Well, it's our 1-year anniversary. That's what it was.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm in the military. I jump out of planes for a living. I'm like, very cool.
Yeah.
Like, planes? He's like, helicopters.
I'm
like, super cool. So you're like, I don't even know what you probably can't even tell. No, I can't tell you. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's super cool. He's like, yeah. So I thought it'd be really fun to take my wife. And she's like, yep, we're here. This is our romantic 1 year.
Yeah. Jumping out of the plane.
I'm like, God bless you. You must really love this man. I do.
Yeah.
What brings you here? And I'm like, well.
And you told the story.
Yeah. Story again, right? And then someone else was overhearing, right? And it was the person who had the clipboard, right? Who was pretty much marking us all off that we're here and that we're jumping.
Yeah.
And he interrupted and he's like, you're going to have a lot of fun. It's a great jump today, man. You're going to enjoy yourself. Do you love roller coasters? And I'm like, I actually hate roller coasters. And he stopped riding and he looked at me, pan face, and he's like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, no, I hate roller coasters. I don't ride roller coasters. He's like, so, like, do you get motion sickness? I'm like, yeah. Oh. You know what, man? Just try to enjoy your jump, okay? Like, it'll be okay. It'll be done fast. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You'll do fine. And that was like the only thing you could say to me, right?
Yeah, because you're probably like, oh.
Yeah, like, oh, poor guy who's jumping with you, right?
Hard time with this jump, yeah.
Yeah, and it was funny. So it was a weird experience, right? So I meet the guy that I'm jumping with, right? And I meet my videographer, and they're pumped and they're excited, right? And before that, I got this lesson from this one guy, and he's like, this is how you do it. Okay, you're going to crouch like this. You're going to do this. You're going to jump like this. You're going to hold on to your harness for dear life, okay? And don't worry, everybody holds on to their harness for dear life.
Yeah.
And the goal is to let go when we tap you, okay? Let go when we tap you. Because that's when you need to let go. Don't let go before then. But just wait for that tap, okay, man? Like, that's your safe spot. And don't worry. I mean, you'll want to hold on because of the G-forces and everything you experience. Like, okay. She's like, it's intense. It feels great. You're out there. It's strong. It's powerful. Man, I love this. I'm going to go get a shoot right now and jump with you. Okay. Okay, I'll be back. And so he literally did strap on a chute, right, and yeah. jumped with my group.
Wow.
And so it was really funny because I'm like, you're a nut. And so, you know, but I was taking in everything he said and everything yeah. else. And I got some good photos, you know. And so I'm there with my guy. I'm there with the videographer. And we're walking up to the plane. And they're like, man, what brings you here? Tell us your story. And I'm like, well, you know, the Lord's been doing a lot of things in my life and dealing with a lot of areas of fear in my life. And this is just an extension of what he wants me to do. And so I'm just doing this because this is where God led me.
Yeah.
So here I am. And he's like, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even think they were listening to me. You know? So we get in the plane, right? And I have great film footage of the whole experience, right?
Yeah.
And I have over 400 photos.
Wow.
Right? I really did pay for a good package.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're all the way up. We're in this small plane. And as we're flying, I notice something. Now, I have been on a helicopter before.
Yeah.
Which I fought the urge to throw up violently.
On the helicopter.
Yeah. It was bad. It was really bad. And you know, I could feel it a little bit in the little puddle jumpers, right? Because I've flown enough on airplanes.
Yeah.
And here I am in this small Cessna-type airplane, right? 12-seater.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 at most, right? And we're flying. I'm having no motion sickness.
Wonderful.
At all. And we're going up to, I think, 30,000. Right?
30,000 feet.
I think. I can't remember now. I was gonna look it up, right? But it's pretty high up there.
Yes,
right?
You jump from a plane, it's high.
Yeah. And maybe it's 20,000. I can't remember what the altitude was. It seems really high now that you've questioned me. I don't know.
It was high.
Yeah, it was high.
It was way up.
It was high. It seemed like 30,000 feet, you know.
Yeah.
It would say on my certificate, but that's in my room and I can't go get it. So we're in this plane, right? And we're up there and he's strapping me in while I'm in the plane, right?
Yeah.
To himself. It's like, sit on my lap. I'm like, oh yeah. So he's strapping me in, pulling the harness tight, right? And we get to the edge, right? And the door is open. And
wow.
You can feel the breeze, right? And you could hear the wind factor against the airplane. And you look down, and it's like literally looking out of an airplane because you're so high.
Yeah.
Because you're literally in an airplane looking out of an airplane,
yeah.
Right? And that's what I remember thinking. I'm like, wow, I'm like looking out. It's like when I fly. And I say, Lord, now you told me that you're making me a man who believes your word over what he sees, thinks, or feels. Right now, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Right now, everything in me thinks this is a stupid idea.
Yeah.
And right now, emotionally, from what I see, this is just not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. And I'm looking, but you said,
yeah,
that we have other things to do in my life. You said that we have something else to get that's unfinished. You said you called me for other things.
Mm-hmm.
You said these things.
Yeah.
And because of that, your word's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this.
Let's jump.
And so there we are rocking as I'm having this conversation.
Did you rock?
Yeah. Because on the count of three is
yeah.
when you jump with your person. So we're rocking, 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 and we jump, right? And it's a vertically inverted, right?
Yeah.
So my head's straight down, and we're just free-falling down. and all the blood rushes to my head immediately, right? And I can feel the air factor on my face, just in my face. And you reach speeds up to 100 miles per hour, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. So you just feel this rush, right, of the inversion, the air factor, and the wind factor over your ears, where you really can't hear anything, right? And I have all these photos, right, taken, like I said, 400 photos from this experience, right? So I can see this look of horror and grimace on my face, right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I see horror, I see horror, I see horror, I see horror, I see fear as I'm gripping on to my harness that's on my chest, right?
Yeah.
And this look of just like,
what am I doing here?
Everything looks wrong in the world, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, fear, 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 fear. Nothing. Like, just like openness.
Yeah.
And the next photo is like a completely different person.
Huh.
And in that time, you know, very few times can I say that I've experienced like this broken or shattered moment in my life, but I literally felt like something just broke.
Yeah.
And just shattered. And it was the weirdest feeling ever, because once that shattered, right, it was this instantaneous breaking as if I had woken up. And I opened my eyes and I looked and I got this giant smile on my face and I let go. And there I am. I have this giant smile and I'm just like bouncing my head back and forth as I'm free falling. And watching the video, I had did this without being tapped.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you get tapped?
No.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a full few seconds that I was like that before he tapped me.
Yeah.
Because I was really not supposed to do that before I got tapped.
Yeah.
Apparently, it throws off your trajectory.
Oh.
Yeah. And it creates more work for the person that you're tandem diving with.
Yeah. Yeah, you were
he was okay.
He was fine.
Yeah. He was fine. We're okay. He was okay.
Yeah. You made it down here.
Yeah, exactly. No issues. Yeah. But yeah, so I had released before without even being tapped.
Yeah.
And the entire way down, like, I was just enjoying it.
Was it fast? How long does it last?
Not long enough. Yeah. Honestly, it goes by really quickly. In fact, on my, when we pulled the cord, I remember thinking, man, I wish that was longer. I honestly loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Honestly, the feeling is, if you've ever driven in a convertible,
mm-hmm.
and you have the wind factor, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you've ever gone 100 miles per hour in a convertible,
yeah.
that is the best comparison.
Okay.
Right? Only without the security of a seatbelt. Right? Yeah. So, mentally, there's that too.
Yeah.
It is a rush of adrenaline, right? And in it, you're falling, and you've experienced this. And then you pull the cord, and it's as if you've ever been in an accident, mm-hmm. you get that tug from you from the seatbelt.
Yeah.
It's the same experience, except on four parts of your body.
Okay.
Right? So it's less of a jerk.
Okay.
But it's this giant like pulling you back.
Yeah.
And you feel it, right? And then you slow down, and then your hearing comes back. Because of the intense air.
It stopped, right?
Yeah. And then you can see, and we took some time to look around, and it was very beautiful, and I loved it. Right.
Down.
You're floating,
oh,
and you're sailing down. And then you get to the bottom, right? And then you try to land the landing, right? Just right to where you drop your legs, that way you catch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is really cool. Right? And then that was the whole experience, right? And I loved it. I absolutely loved the experience. Right?
Huh.
And then the guy tried to sign me up for lessons.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you were gonna do.
Yeah, because he asked me, he's like, dude, I can tell you really enjoyed this. I'm like, I really did. He's like, you need to come out here. Like, you should totally come working for us. Like, you come working for us, every jump is only $20.
Oh.
And, you know, you get paid really well. And I could tell you really enjoyed yourself. And I was like, and it was really funny to hear this guy telling me this, right?
Yeah.
Because that was totally
not who you were.
No, at all.
Wow.
Right? And any of my friends, like, you can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Right? That is not what they would expect from me.
No.
For someone to even say, man, you must have really enjoyed this. Like, I can tell. You're like a lifer. You should get on our mailing list. You should come back. And it wasn't salesmanship.
He just saw that you genuinely enjoyed the experience.
Because once he said bye to me, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other contact whatsoever. Right? So would I do it again? Yeah, I'd probably do it again.
Yeah.
Right? If the situation presented itself. But it's not something that I'm actively seeking out.
Okay.
You know? Because, again, I'm not... It's not who I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was so hesitant for so long to even tell people about this.
Yeah.
Because this isn't about the experience. Oh, Ray jumped out of a plane.
Yeah.
Right? This is about the Lord dealing in me this deep issue of fear.
Yeah.
And my ability to say, my love for you, my trust in you, supersedes anything I know to be true.
Mm.
And the safeguards that I have put upon my life to prolong and preserve my life.
Yeah.
And when you come to that point, however that may look, whatever it may be, which is different for each person,
exactly.
Right? All of a sudden, that's when you become pliable to God.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, what is the extent you were willing to do what I told you?
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, that's forever a moment of, you want me to do what, Lord?
Yeah.
Well, I jumped out of a plane, so what the heck? What's this?
Yeah, was this coming now? Yeah.
Right? And it's those moments that are powerful moments because you begin equating those moments back in your life, right? And they testify not only of the faithfulness of God,
mm-hmm.
that he can be trusted with every word that he's spoken to me,
yeah.
but also it develops my faith and my ability to say, no, I've heard the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, you need to back up right now,
yeah.
because I heard the Lord, I know what he told me to do, and while it doesn't look like it, while there's nothing in me that feels good about this situation,
yeah.
and while there's nothing in my mind that would make this think this is right,
mm-hmm.
God said a thing.
Yeah.
And because he said a thing, I'm willing to sit on it, and I'm willing to wait for it, and I'm willing to push it through because God said it.
God said, yeah.
And that's the power of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That is quite a story. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, this is great. Oh, great. Oh, I'm trying to think of what else to ask you. Man, you gave such a really great story. what are your goals for the rest of the year? I mean, 2020 has been kind of a kick you in the pants kind of year for
it's
so many
all
of
us, I think.
For everybody. Like,
yeah, you know, the Lord has put other things in my spirit, right, that I'm waiting on.
Yeah.
And he's given me the strength to be able to trust him in those ways, right?
Yeah.
And my goal is to use the time wisely that the Lord has given me.
Yeah.
Before I was so concerned, right, with the end.
Hmm.
Like you asked me towards the beginning about ministry, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, what about ministry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which was not on your list, by the way,
it
or something that I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
Right? And it's something that, like I said, I've given back to the Lord, however that may look.
Yeah.
And the Lord has whispered to me things, right? And things that I'm just waiting on, however that may look, whatever that may look like. I am in no rush.
Yeah, sorry, your
because,
cat's taking my shoe. Sorry.
That's okay. He does that.
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry, I look at
it's fine. He does that. All these things, right, where I'm just like at the point of making the most of my time.
Yeah.
Right? The Lord put something in my heart when I started this in last summer.
Okay.
Right? And it turned into a sacrifice, really, in the third quarter,
yeah.
you know, of last year, where I said, Lord, I want to give you an exuberant sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you haven't asked it of me, but I want to give you an exuberant sacrifice. Whereas in this season of my life, however it may last, however long it may be, I want to do something over and beyond what you have even asked of me as a sacrifice of my time to you, right? And to be with you.
Yeah.
And while I'm not perfect at it, and while I haven't been perfect at it, and you know, there's many days that I've not been great at it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I can say that I haven't been great at it without really driving that point home,
yeah.
right? But the fruit of that has been the ability to tarry and to hear his voice and to be more in tune with him than I ever have been, right? And my goal each day, which has been very different in how I've looked at things. Like I said, in the past, I've only looked at things at the end goal, right?
Yeah.
Ministry. Well, the end goal is obviously then to either be a teacher somewhere teaching the word of God or to be a preacher somewhere preaching the word of God, you know, which is an end goal, right?
Yeah.
My goal is to just hear the heart of God for the day.
That's a good goal.
And to live that out.
Yeah.
And this is where we had talked about tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, it's always been a heartache and something hard for me and just a pain and an agony.
Yeah.
And I just hated it. And now the Lord spoke to me this past tax season. He's like, I have given this to you. What you saw as a cursing, as bad, as negative, I gave to you as a blessing. And I'm like, I don't understand. I don't know what you mean. And he's like, I have given you the season that's always been the desire of your heart. To seclude yourself away with me. To pull back from everybody and everything and to be near me.
Yeah.
And your season's called tax season. Because in that season, you have the most natural excuse ever to pull back from people.
Yeah, you've got to do your taxes while everybody else's taxes.
Because you're tired.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of strength. You don't have a lot of time. But what you do have is a lot of time to be with me.
Yeah.
If you bring me into it. And that changed completely how I view tax season.
Oh.
Because all of a sudden, Lord, redeem this time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I began to pray as I worked on a tax return, right? That's when I began to pray for the people of the people that I'm doing the tax return for,
yeah.
right? That's when the Lord started blessing me even more because I do taxes on the side, right?
Yeah.
My boss and I have an agreement that the smaller returns that he doesn't want to handle, right, he's okay with me doing
yeah.
on the side. And because I didn't want to do anything on the side without talking to him, so
exactly.
I asked permission, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Just, you know, don't kill yourself. I'm like, no worries.
Yeah.
Won't.
Yeah.
Right? But the Lord has increased the volume of this side work that I do. Right? And it's been one more thing that I've been able to use as a ministry opportunity for other people. Right? Over and above as a sacrifice to the Lord. But also just being able to speak to people in a way that I can be more free to speak. Because I'm the guy,
yeah.
as opposed to working for a guy,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's been great. Like I've been able to say, that's really interesting when you're telling me about these things. And you know what? The Lord's obviously bringing something out for you. So let's just pray right now. I know
yeah.
you're talking about your tax stuff, but let's just stop and pray.
People are pretty open to it?
Well, usually the Lord opens them to it. Right? And so that's just been another area of
yeah.
the Lord's brought about, you know, his will.
Yeah.
Again, Lord, what is it you want to do today?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that if I don't see somebody today because I'm working all day,
yeah.
that I've missed the will of God and I'm out of the will of God and I've never do something for God. Because sometimes the best thing we can do for God, the paramount thing of God, is to abide with God.
Yeah.
Right? And all of our doing should always flow out of all of our being.
With God, yeah.
You know? If I be with the Lord, the Lord put it in my heart years ago. He's like, you know, stand still before me. Because when you're still before me, you can react to the slightest movement of me. Mm-hmm. Things that you would miss if you're moving, if you're coming, if you're going, if you're distracted, if you're off somewhere else,
yeah.
If you're busy, you will miss those things because you are not still before me. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most impactful books of my life, my pastor recommended that I read, called Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And it's this absolute simple notion that all this stuff happens around us. All this stuff happens around us.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff can serve as a distraction from our pursuit of God.
Yeah.
And if we just always find God in the middle of everything, if we always retreat to God in the middle of all the chaos, in the middle of all the things, then we're going to find the will of God and the heart of God, and we're going to be about the work of God. Mm-hmm. And that's the notion of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Jesus only did what he saw
the
Father doing and spoke what he heard the Spirit saying.
Yeah.
Because the same thing, right? He was in the middle of God's heart. But in order to do the things of God, he had to be in the heart of God.
Yeah. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
This is really fun.
Thank you again. I appreciate the time.
No problem.
Just letting me share.
Yeah, this is great. All right.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Brave Podcast. I really hope you guys enjoyed my interview with my friend Ray. I absolutely enjoyed my time sitting there hearing about his skydiving experience and knowing him personally, knowing how freaked out he was before all of this about heights or adrenaline, anything. It's so cool to see how God transformed that and took away that fear, and now he's able to do these great things and have this awesome testimony. So I hope you guys loved the interview. All right, before we go and I go on to ask you my three things, my guest last week, Dr. April Jones, she has a company called The Drifted Drum. If you like really cool t-shirts, she has one that's really cute that I want to get that says social distancing for everyone but Jesus, which is really funny in this time. She has cool like art decor and verses and really cool things that are kind of Christian oriented in her shop. If you are interested in any of those things, I will put a link in the show notes, and I'm probably not describing it as well as I should be. So anyway, I'll put that in the show notes, and if you decide to purchase anything, use the code BRAVE at checkout and you'll get 10% off. Isn't that nice of April? It's so cool that she's doing it for my listeners. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Here are my three asks. My first one is to subscribe to my email list. By doing that, you get access to the podcast a day early, any giveaways that I'm doing, or any news about the Brave Podcast. It'll be in the email. Second, share the podcast with a friend. If you hear anything in today's episode that you think a friend would love, go on and send them over to the Brave Podcast, share it with them. They'll love it. Finally, ratings. Ratings helps me to know what you guys are loving and what I need to work on. So if you can add some ratings, that would be wonderful. Thank you guys so much. I love you all, and we will see you again next week with another episode of the Brave Podcast. Thanks. Bye.